you guys out there in the third dimension with your smart devices, you can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Good morning. I'm Gary. This is my wife, Gloria.
Hi, that's me.
That's you. And we're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship. And all the people on the screen are our guest ministers on the GFCD Q&A Bible study. And you guys are most welcome to join us and make comments and ask questions as we do this study in the book of Hebrews. Now we're going to go around all the faces and get the guest ministers to introduce themselves to you guys out there in the third dimension. Over to you, please, Cherry.
Yes, I'm Cherry Toll from Greensboro, North Carolina. And I was just sitting here. This is, we come together. This is incredible, all these people. Some of us haven't been around, and this is a blessing to me. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Cherry. Over to you, please, John.
Yeah, I'm John Tripp. I'm also from North Carolina. I live in High Point. And North Carolina is in the southeastern part of the United States. And it's always good to listen and relax and just have some good humor before we meet. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. And of course, you guys over in America, it's summer, but over here, yeah, it's cool. We're in winter in the east coast of Australia. Over to you, please, Emmanuel.
Hi, my name is Emmanuel. Can you hear me? My name is Emmanuel, and I'm in Colorado Springs, right by the mountains. And I'm just honored to be part of this great group of ministers around here from all over the world, actually. Thank you, Gary and Gloria, for having me.
Thanks, Emmanuel. And Rick and Elaine. Where's Elaine? Where is she?
Where is Elaine? She just actually went into the other, she's back there.
I can see her in the background there. Yeah. Can you introduce yourselves, please, Rick and Elaine?
Yes, we are Rick and Elaine Bush. We live in Michigan, which is the only place on earth that looks like a hand.
Like a mitten.
Yes, like a mitten. And there's a
story. I won't ever forget that.
No, and you know, we're told that that's when God made the world, that's where he was holding the world up as he was, you know, doing his thing. So anyways, and this is Samson.
Hi, Sammy.
Yeah, he's a 6-month-old pup, and he's a good boy. It's great. Look forward to Bible study tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Okay, Gloria, could you open this Bible study with prayer and lead us through communion for you guys out there in the third dimension? And what do I mean by third dimension? Well, a two-dimensional Bible study would just be the faces on the screen doing a study together, but you guys at the third dimension, because you can participate by, at the very least, telling us where you are in the world, because this is a global Bible study. This particular Bible study is targeted on the USA. Obviously, the people in Australia are up because we're here. So tell us where you are in the world. And then as we get into the Bible study, ask questions and we'll come back with answers in real time. And over to you, Gloria.
Thank you. So if you haven't got your elements, go and get something that you can use to represent the body and blood of Jesus, cracker, bread, juice, wine, whatever you'd like to use, and come back and fellowship with us through this time of communion. So, Father God, we thank you so much for your precious love for us. We thank you that you have brought all these wonderful, wonderful treasured ministers from all around different parts of the world to be a part of Grace Faith Christian Discipleship. We thank you for all the people who are looking on in the third dimension, as we call it, those people who are there now or are later in the future. We thank you that they are ready to receive the good news and to receive the truth that is being spoken today through the Holy Spirit that is bringing these truths to our understanding. We thank you for Jesus and all that he has accomplished on the cross. We thank you that he is the Word, the living Word, powerful and mighty, sharper than a two-edged sword. We thank you in his precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, as I do communion, I'm always looking at the cross from different facets. Yesterday when I did the communion, I talked about how people in the Old Testament were looking for the Messiah, the coming Messiah. They placed their faith in a coming Messiah. But we place our faith in the Messiah, Jesus, who went to the cross. So we look back at the cross. And it doesn't matter how many times I look at it from this angle, from this angle, from this angle, it all comes back to the cross. There's just so much richness to receive as I've been looking at the finished work of the cross. It is such a blessing to study out all the different aspects of what Jesus did for us and what he's won for us, what he's paid for, what he's suffered, all that has been accomplished on the cross. And I truly believe that today, every issue that we have in our life, whether it be personal, whether it be relationships, whether it be, anyone who might have anxiety about the future or anything in our life, whatever it happens to be, if we just keep our eyes on the finished work of the cross, we will see that it's not what we try to do in our own strength to overcome these things, but it's what Christ has accomplished for us. And by faith, we take hold of all those things. If you want healing, there's healing there. If you want forgiveness is there. If you want prosperity is there. Because when Jesus went to the cross, he gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness through that finished work of the cross. We just have to believe, receive, accept him, and believe that he is the risen Lord. So it is so wonderful to be able to look at all these different aspects of the cross and to remember him, as he said, when we come and read from Matthew 26, starting from verse 26, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Thank you, Jesus, for your body. Thank you that you took the stripes for my healing, and by faith I receive what you have done. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus, for my healing.
Your body that is broken for me.
And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood that took away my sin and the sin of the world. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, that you won victory for all those who believe, for all mankind, but those who believe can walk in that victory, and we thank you for it. Thank you that you are the risen Lord. Praise you, Jesus, Almighty God. How wonderful, wonderful.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Gloria. Well, this is a Bible study. We're in the book of Hebrews. Gloria, can you step in while I have a cough, please?
Well, I best tell you where we are, actually. As Gary said earlier, we're in Australia on the eastern coast. Normally, Gary and I live in the same house together. We haven't separated. It's just that at the moment I'm doing some house sitting. So we're about over 800 kilometres apart, or 600 miles. So that's how far apart we are. But there's only 2 more weeks to go and we'll be back together again.
Thanks, Gloria. Okay, we're in the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 11 and we're going to start at verse 8. And I'm still having trouble with my throat, so I'll just mute myself and hand over to Gloria. I'm going to share screen.
Okay, so we're starting from verse 8 and reading what, one verse?
Just read 8 to 11 and then we'll go We'll go to Cherry first, okay?
Okay. So verse 8, Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him on the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So did you want me to read verse 12, Gary? I can't hear you, Gary.
No, just leave it at that. And okay. If we could go to Cherry for first comments. You find a comment there, Cherry, from verse 8 down to 11. We're talking about the subject, of course, is faith.
Yes. That's exactly what I got, was that these are patriarchs, and they are the word is talking about the faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. And then it says, goes down to by faith, Sarah herself, by faith, she also received strength to conceive seed. We're talking about people in the word that were doing things by faith when they felt the presence of God calling them to hold on. And, you know, on this screen, there are people that are walking by faith into areas that we know that God is calling us to. And so this is just an example in the word about how we walk out our relationship with the Lord now as a New Testament believer. Matthew 10:38 says, take up your cross and follow Jesus. That's what we do now by faith. That's what I have. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Cherry. Okay, who we go to next? Let's go to John for comments there, please, John. Unmute.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. Yeah, to add what Cherry said, faith is trust-based obedience. That's another definition for faith, and because it says he obeyed. So, and what an important thing there, it says, you know, he went out not know where he's going. And that's the charge to us as we walk in faith. I'm waving at Brenda. Anyway, she says, hello, guys. Anyway.
Hi, Brenda.
When we go out, and he went out, he didn't know where he was going.
Yeah, thanks, John. I'm just reflecting on what Cherry said. And I can see that we're walking by faith. It tells us to walk in the Spirit. And Pastor Keith brought out last night that faith is motivated by love.
Amen.
Because if you have faith but you don't have love, then you're not walking in the Spirit. You know, there's this interconnection. You know, nothing is a standalone in the Bible. Everything's interconnected. And I'm yet to see what the difference is between walking by faith and walking in the Spirit. If there's a difference, I kind of can't see it, because they seem to be so well knit together, if you know what I mean. Can I go to you, please, Rick, for comment?
Well, these verses focusing on faith are giving examples of the types of faith that people have had. starting with Abraham, as it said, and as John and Cherry have said, he didn't even know where he was going, but he obeyed. Now, what he did was he trusted, as John pointed out in the definition he gave. Abraham trusted God, even though he didn't know where he was going, and he went there, and he, you know, supposedly this land was going to be given to him, and I say supposedly, that's what he was promised, and yet he lived there, as the scripture said, as a foreigner. Even his sons lived there as foreigners, living in tents. And, you know, often people, when you start thinking about the kinds of faith and experiences we've had, where we've had to use faith, and people are using their faith, but they're struggling, is, you know, I had a conversation with somebody very close to me today, in fact, about this. And the perception was, well, when you're doing what God has told you to do by faith, that things ought to go smoothly. And the truth is, that isn't what we're promised. We're promised that he'll be with us and see us through. And in fact, the truth is, he wants us to do impossible things with him at our side. He wants us to be doing things and to trust him enough that we, first of all, don't think we can do it, but we know that we can do it because he's with us. And it's not that things will go smoothly. Look, if things went smoothly, Abraham would have went to this land that was promised him, and somehow all of a sudden he, you know, this land was given to him. That's not what happened. That's not smooth. In fact, his children were waiting for the same promise. It's even the promise of his child. He had to wait for that. It didn't go smooth, as well as he was in a circumstance, his age, his wife's age, where it seemed impossible, but he still trusted God. And that's one of the things we want to take from this, that he's trying to point out in these scriptures, is that these people, they had faith even when it seemed that it was hopeless, that there was no reason for their faith. Yet they've trusted God, they trusted his word, what he told them anyways. And that's what we have to do. There are times when, now hopefully we're communing with God and we're actually in our relationship with him, we know we're doing what he wants us to do. But most of all, we have to trust him that he's with us. And the truth is, even if we kind of misstep or get it wrong, he's right there with us. He doesn't kick us to the side and say, oh, now you missed it. No, he's right there with us. And hopefully we continue to commune and have a relationship with him where he can get us led back onto the right track and accomplish what he has as an assignment for us. Because we have an assignment. Whatever, we have things to do that God wants us to do. So that faith is something that we have to recognize may not go smooth, but hang in there, continue to trust God. And as Gary said, love is, you know, it's one of the reasons that we trust God, is because he loves us, and there's something that that love is what, or the scripture says, we love because he first loved us.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. That was good. Yeah, I just want to speak to the people in the third dimension. Did you hear what Rick was saying? Did you hear? He was talking about, you know, can I ask you, is God with you? Well, you know, if you've put your trust in Jesus, then God is actually on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit, who is God. He resides inside of you. His temple is your body. And if this sounds foreign to you, then just stick with us through this Bible study at the end. Gloria's going to give us more insight into that, aren't you, Gloria? You're muted, Gloria. You're on mute, Gloria. We can't hear you. We cannot hear you.
Just trying to unmute. Okay. Yeah. I said, thanks for the heads up, Gary.
That's what it was. I'll be ready. Okay. Who's next? Emmanuel. Thank you, Emmanuel. Yes. How are you?
Hello. Yes. I was drawn to verse 11 where it said, she judged him faithful. So here is Sarah judging God. And that act of judging is what makes her to be considered as having faith, because we're talking of people of faith in the book of, in the famous chapter of the great faith men of God. And Sarah is listed there, and all she did was that she judged God faithful. Mm. Now, when you look at the opposite side of it, which means if you do not judge God faithful, or if you do not trust that God will do what his word says he's going to do, then you have judged him unfaithful. And it is such a simple step, but that's what God looks at. When you judge God faithful, things work for you, because by faith, they did this. By faith, they did this. By faith. And then you start wondering, how did they apply the faith? Or why are they listed in the famous chapter of faith and I'm not there? And so you try to look for clues. How did they do it? And so I was drawn to that verse 11. And it sounds so simple, but some of these simple things are actually what makes things work in the kingdom. Because Jesus has said, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, if that's how big of faith you have to get mountains moved, then it means somehow faith is a simple thing and it's not difficult. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to be able to use faith. But somehow it has been a very elusive topic in the body of Christ. And so when I see little things like that, I get drawn to it. So I'm glad I saw it today. And honestly, I've seen it casually, but I kind of saw it in detail today. So that's my contribution today.
Yeah, great contribution. Thanks, Emmanuel. you know, and I'm talking to the people out there in the third dimension. You know, how does this relate to you? How does this relate to me? Well, we're looking at the Hall of Faith. We're looking at people who supposedly were sort of at a level that, you know, that we should aspire to be at. But it's really quite simple, because as born again Christians, we were all given the measure of faith, which is the faith of Christ inside of us. Not a measure of faith, we're given the measure of faith. The Bible says that in the King James Version. And, you know, it talks about, you know, it's not now I who live, but I live by the faith of the Son of God who died for me, right? So we're living by the faith of Jesus, not by our faith. But are we using the faith that we were given? You know, when people look at you and they see your faith in action. How do they see it? By the words that come out of your mouth. Because Enoch, in last night's Bible study, we looked at one of the first people. See, it says that Enoch had a confession. His testimony, not God's testimony, his testimony was that God was pleased with him. Now, these weren't God's words. These were Enoch's words. Why did he say that? Because he was putting his faith into action. See, the action of faith is what comes out of your mouth. That's the action. That's the works. Faith without works is dead. Well, it's not a matter of getting your hammer and nails out. It's not that sort of works. It's what you speak. God made the world through what he spoke. He made us in his image. We are given the same creative ability out of the words, those faith-filled words that we speak. We have faith in God. Guess what? God has faith in us. That's a bit of a tilt, but that's what the Bible tells us. Okay, let's go on to the next reading. Oh, I didn't mention about Sarah. If you think that these people in the Hall of Faith in chapter 11 are at a level above you, then just look at Sarah. She's there. But when God first spoke to her, guess what she did? She laughed at him. Sarah laughed at God because she was beyond having children. And she clearly heard him say, basically, that you're going to be the mother of many nations, of you know, what he had revealed to her husband, Abraham. And she laughed. Yeah. That wasn't faith. But then she made a decision, because it's that decision to believe what God has told us through his word that engages the faith of Christ that we were given at the new birth. Amen. Before we commence the next segment, which is always the highlight of our Bible study, I'd like to pray over your giving today. This prayer comes from 2 Corinthians 9. Verses 10 and 11. May God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. I thank God for your giving. I thank God for those who on a regular basis are partnered with GFCD and give monthly. This allows us to keep all our various programs going. Thank you again. God bless you. Okay, let's jump into reading the next group of scriptures. And you were right, Gloria. I should have included verse 12 in that reading, but I was too busy having a cough to be focused. So if you could read 11, and then I'll get the comments from 13 through to 15, and we should have time to get around. So
we're reading
12,
yeah,
right through to 15.
Right,
the comments are targeted at 13 to 15. You got that, Cherry, because you're first cab off the rank. Okay. So over to you, please, Gloria.
From one man, and him as good as dead.
Yeah, that's talking about Abraham.
Were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having...
I'll just get you to pull up there, Gloria. This is really important. These all died in faith, right? Not having received the promises. Yet they were still in faith. This is like quite important. Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to highlight, it's sort of like I'm highlighting with my words the importance of this verse 13. So back to you, Gloria. If you might like to start, and I'll promise to not interrupt you. Start again.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Amen. All right, over to you, Cherry, commenting from verse 13 down to 16, please.
Goodness. They're called, what they're doing, it's hard for me to wrap myself around this scripture right now. I'm a little baffled. But can you go on to somebody else?
Yeah, sure, Cherry. We might come back to you last. So,
okay.
Next one's John. Over to you, please, John. You'll have to unmute.
Okay, Gary, I was looking at what down at verse 15, and it says, and truly, if they had been mindful of the country from which they came out, you know, I kind of looked around and I saw what I've heard Andrew Womack say this before, but if you're not thinking about it, you can't be tempted. And that's pretty much what that scripture means right there. You can't be tempted if you're not thinking about it. So we have to work on, you know, not dwelling. We're going to be tempted, but we just can't dwell on it and put it in, play with it and kick it around and say, what if? So you can't be tempted of anything if you're not thinking about it. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. So basically, how does that apply to you guys out there in the third dimension? Well, if you're born again Christians, then God has got a plan and a purpose for you, right? As he did with Abraham. And what John's bringing out is that we need to be looking forward and fulfilling that destiny that God has for us, not looking back and thinking like the children of Abraham did. Oh, it was better when we were back in the children of Israel did, thinking that it was better when we were back in Egypt, you know? So that's, what it's saying here, I can't remember the verse number that as John highlighted, is if they had have looked back, they would have had opportunity to return, right? But they didn't. They just saw the call of God and went for it by faith. Amen. Okay, so Rick, over to you.
Well, these examples of faith, they are examples of things that have not been seen yet by them. Mm-hmm. Some things they are not by anyone, but they had faith that because God told them that he would do what he said. And it isn't that they had faith in things that don't exist. There are things that don't exist. Perhaps some of these things don't exist in the physical realm, but they do exist. And it kind of comes back to a verse that I brought up last week that has to do with believing, the kind of faith we're talking about, the faith of a mustard seed, as Emmanuel has said. And that faith, faith that is seemingly that small, can move mountains. And in the verses that as Jesus was speaking, he was saying that you could speak to this mountain or you could speak to this tree and cause things to happen. But he also went on to say it was important that you believed, that you received when you prayed, and these things would be yours. Not wait until you see it happen. These people had demonstrated this for years and years and years, decades, even lifetimes. As it said, some of them died with only the promise in their hearts in faith, even though they hadn't seen it yet. And you know, sometimes when we look at our faith, it's easy for us to feel inadequate. But it really is something simple. And it starts with, if you pray, and you know, it is important that what you're praying is God's will. Well, some people say, well, I don't know what God's will. How would I know what God's will is? You know, by reading his word and being open to the Holy Spirit, helping you understand what the word is saying. And when you pray, you want to know that what you're asking for. For instance, Emmanuel mentioned you need a postage stamp. Okay, well, there's nothing about a postage stamp in the Bible. But what there is what a postage stamp represents, which is something you need. And you have to know in your heart and believe and have faith in God that he wants you to have what you need. And that when you don't have it, you can go to him and you can ask him for help to receive, believe for that postage stamp, and believe when you asked for it, that you received it, that it's already on the way. It's not in your hand at the moment, but you have to believe that you've received that. That's the kind of faith. It was simple faith that these people had, even though it ended up being massive, like that mustard seed. The smallest seed grows into the largest tree in the garden. It starts with believing when you ask that he hears you, that he's faithful, that he keeps his word. And then you too will have faith like these patriarchs that were listed in what is called the Hall of Faith.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. That's so important what Rick was just saying. I just want to share screen and just go to what he's talking about there. It's called the, what Rick was talking about, it's called the Prayer of Faith. Now, it's mentioned over here in James. Where's James? James is there. And I want to go to James 5, I think it's around about verse 15. Okay. It's talking about people who are sick, right? James says in verse 13 of chapter 5 of James, is anyone amongst you suffering? Right? Anyone amongst you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Right. Okay. It's verse 14 that I wanted. Is anyone among you sick? Right, this is the instructions to the sick person. Let him call for the elders of the church. Right, that's it. That's the end of their instruction to the sick person. Right, now, who are the elders of the church? Well, if you've been born again and you've been into the word for a couple of decades or more, you're bound to be an elder of the church, regardless of what your age is. Right. Now, this is the instruction to the elder of the church. And let them pray over him, over the sick person, anointing the sick person with oil in the name of the Lord. Right? Great. So let them pray. Well, what are they going to pray? Well, this is what they're going to pray in verse 15. And the prayer of faith. That's what Rick was explaining, the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. When it talks about here saved, it's talking about sozo. It's talking about saved, healed, and delivered. It's talking specifically about the healing aspect of sozo, right? And the prayer of faith will heal the sick, basically what it's saying there. And the Lord will raise him up. So it tells us what to do, but it doesn't really tell us what the prayer of faith is. So what is this prayer of faith that we elders of the church are supposed to pray over sick people? Well, it's recorded over in the book of Mark's gospel, and it's in Mark 11, and I'm going to read 22. Okay, from verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, and Jesus is going to tell us what the prayer of faith is. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. What is the God kind of faith? The God kind of faith believes that what he says will not return to him void. Because these are instructions to us from the Lord Jesus. For assuredly I say to you, just as Rick just said to us, whoever says to this mountain, now what's the mountain? Is it a physical mountain out there, you know, something that shape, you know, this big peak? No, it's the mountains in your life, be that whatever they are, be them financial mountains, be them mountains of health issues, whatever the attack is that's coming against you. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Whatever he says, whatever you say, whatever comes out of your mouth, you're going to have it because you believe it, right? Verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, pray the prayer of faith. This is the prayer of faith that we're explaining right now. Believe that you receive them. So the believing part is first. You're not believing for something that doesn't exist. You're just believing for something that you cannot see in this earthly realm. It exists because you possess healing. It was paid for 2,000 years ago at the cross. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. And then it says, and you will have them. What's it mean, you will have them? Well, it means that they will manifest in your mortal body right here and now. The Holy Spirit will quicken your mortal body as you confess the word of God over it. And that's basically it. And if you are still on track with where we were at with our study of Hebrews, Emmanuel, I'll go to you for comments, and then we'll go to Gloria for her closing of this Bible study. So over to you, Emmanuel.
Yes, I was just looking at the verse 12, and it starts by saying, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. It's very complicated the way it's worded, but what it's saying is, because of the things that preceded verse 12, because I hear Andrew say all the time, when you see therefore, yeah, you see therefore, you have to go back behind and see what is therefore. And this is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12.
11, and it's verse 12 we're looking for.
12. Yes. 12.
Okay. Therefore, and,
therefore, it says from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, and multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. See, the things they did before the word therefore, which is like Sarah trusting God or judging him as faithful, or Abraham obeying the word of God without knowing where he was going. Those little things they did is what opened up the things that follow, coming from verse 12, where God could use a man as dead as he was to produce multitudes that are even more than the stars in heaven, and even more than the number of sand, you know, particles at the seashore, you cannot compare the size of what they did in verses 11, 10, and so forth to the size of what God did after verse 12. That is the comparison. Rick was talking about the size of the mustard seed compared to the size of the tree that follows. The things God did after the verse 12, the number of kids or children that came out of that little action Abraham and Sarah did. That's the same thing. God can take the least of your effort. You make the least effort to believe in what God is saying and act upon his word. He will take it and magnify it, kind of like a telescope. A little end can see magnitudes of things. So this is very encouraging for us to know that the little effort we do is not in vain, because that's all what God is looking for. He's looking for that little step, because he's the only one who can create that magnitude of multitude of children that are more than the stars in the sky. How many stars are there in the sky? Can you count them? You can't even go there in your thinking. But God is able to do that, but he needs that step of faith from us. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Over to you, please, Cherry.
Yes, I'm sitting here asking the Lord what he wants me to say here. And what came up to me is we're all strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We're all looking for a heavenly calling. And you know, we all desire something better. We desire things that God calls us to desire. This is what these people were doing. And one scripture that comes to mind is Matthew 10:39. He who finds his life will lose it. In other words, you look at something and you think, oh, that looks good over there. But visually it might look good, but he who loses his life, in other words, if you focus on what God wants you to do, then for my sake, he will find it. And I believe that the kingdom life is a heavenly country. And we're all living in that kingdom now. It's a totally different kind of life. And the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God manifests. He can do things in our life that if we're focusing, we're walking in that heavenly kingdom and walking in that heavenly, the walk that he wants us to go in. It is an incredible life.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, Cherry. And while Cherry was talking, I kind of got a revelation, because it's not information that we need. There's information. We're in the information overload in this world. What we need is a word from the Holy Ghost. We know that's called revelation. Now, what I just got was, it's in chapter 24, verse 37 to 39, I believe. I might be wrong on that, but I think that's about where it is. God makes a comparison of us, because we are called a peculiar people, and the world look at us and they see us as really, really a peculiar people. But God makes a comparison with us peculiar people with Noah, because it talks about, you know, the people in Noah's age looked at him as being very strange. This man is building an ark. They'd never had rain before. And he's building an ark. And they're thinking, this guy's an absolute nutter. They're busily about their busyness, as the world is today. And yet Jesus is returning. And we are declaring him, we the peculiar people of this day and age, are declaring Jesus as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and our priest, who is seated at the right hand of heaven, and that Jesus is returning. His return is imminent. And yet the people of the world are just, as it says over there in Matthew, as were the people in Noah's day, just busy about the business of their time, until it started raining, until Jesus returned. Of course, that return is, I'm prophesying, as has been prophesied in the Bible, that Jesus is returning and his return is imminent. Over to you, please, Gloria.
What a great Bible study. And we know that there are people, mostly people watching on, who already have received Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, believe that he's risen, and confess him as Lord and Saviour. But we also know that there are a number of people who are watching who haven't yet made that decision. They're just kind of weighing it all up. They're thinking about what's going on. Or maybe you have already made the decision, but you know somebody that hasn't, and you want to share this Bible study with them. So I'm speaking to those people now. We've talked about faith today. That little step of faith, as Emmanuel said, that little step of faith, that little mustard seed of faith, making a decision to go from one kingdom, which is the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. Now, I'm not going to try to convince you to make that decision. It's not my role. But the Holy Spirit is drawing you, because we all have an intuitive knowledge of God in us, that part of us that cannot be filled by anything, not money, not relationships, not prestige, nothing. The comforts of life cannot fill it. They can only numb it or maybe distract you. But when you're quiet and alone by yourself and you really think, you'll know that there's a tug in your heart to make that decision. A childlike faith is all you need. Your mother or father held you in your arms when you were born, and you didn't have to worry that they were going to drop you or not feed you or not keep you warm. You just believed, because that's what a child does. And that's what I'm asking you to do today. Take that little step of faith and believe that Jesus died for you. Believe that he was buried and rose again. Believe he's coming back. And then out of your mouth, confess that, because it's in the heart and it's out of the mouth, in accordance with Romans 10, 9 and 10. And just say, Father God, thank you for Jesus, that he went to the cross and paid the price for my sin. He took it away. He took away the sin of the world. And I believe that he rose again. And I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I thank you, Father God, that I've been forgiven from all those things that have kept me in bondage. And I call you Father, and I call Jesus my Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time today, And please send us an email. Our email address is gfcd.sozo@gmail.com, and we'll put you in touch with a minister in your local area. That prayer that you just prayed is called the beginner's prayer because it's the beginning of your walk with Jesus. Right now, if you prayed that prayer, then you just got born again. You just got your ticket to heaven and you just received eternal life. Eternal life does not start when you get to the pearly gates. Eternal life begins when you make Jesus your Lord, Lord of your life, which is what that prayer just did. Now, if you just regret the fact that you didn't partake in that prayer, then guess what? Now is the day of salvation. Even if this is 10 years since Gloria said that prayer, you can partake in it right now. You just rewind this video and play it right now, and Jesus will still receive you. The only caveat that I would place on that is you need to do that before he returns. Amen. Right now we're going to say goodbye, everybody, and I just want to thank all the ministers on the screen. Each and every one of you is invaluable to this ministry. Thank you very, very much. We love you, not only the ministers on the screen, we love you, but we love you guys out there in the third dimension. Don't forget to ask your questions, subscribe to our YouTube channel, look for our playlist. There's a variety of playlists, but the one with these Bible studies, which is our method of discipleship, because we're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship, and we disciple people through this Bible study series. There's already 280. Hey, that'll keep you busy watching 280 of these. We love you. God bless you. God loves you too. And we'll see you this time next week. Bye from Australia.
Bye-bye.